U.S. states have typically responded to growing corporatization in healthcare with measures aimed at increasing transparency of ownership and strengthening review of proposed transactions. But a new Oregon law addresses ownership structure directly. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Jane Ju, an associate professor of medicine in the Division of General Internal Medicine at Oregon Health and Science University. Dr. Ju has co-authored a perspective article about Oregon's new corporate practice of medicine law. Dr. Ju, to start, what has concerned some policymakers about the increasing influence of profit-seeking entities in healthcare?
Sure. So physician practices, healthcare entities have increasingly undergone rapid acquisition and consolidation in the past couple of decades. Less than half of physician practices are now independently owned, and this share is actually declining over time. And there's a lot of concern around these corporate entities having undue influence on the way that clinical care is provided, and specifically on physician autonomy and clinical decision making.
So, what role do federal regulators play in responding to this corporatization, and what authorities does state government have?
Well, there is a lot of political will at the level of the states to address corporate ownership and specifically private equity in particular in response to high-profile cases like Steward Healthcare. At the federal level, there are a number of levers, including FTC and DOJ mechanisms for enforcement. These include review processes, but those have been on hold at a federal level. So increasingly, there's a lot of efforts coming on at the state level. There's growing appetite to address corporate ownership in healthcare and to really mitigate the harms. So a lot of those efforts at the state level to date have really been focused on increasing transparency, reporting, and transaction oversight. Oregon, in passing this recent law, SB 951, sets a new model for how states might be able to address corporate ownership in healthcare.
What are the provisions in this new Oregon law?
So, SB 951 is a law that was passed in June of 2025. It is a first-in-the-nation approach to regulating corporate control of physician practices. And what this law is really aiming to do is to strengthen traditional corporate practice of medicine laws, which are present in about half of states due to historical concerns, as we talked about the undue influence of corporate ownership on clinical care. And so on paper, these laws have historically prohibited non-clinicians from owning or directing medical practices. But these laws have really been dormant. They are largely unenforced, and they really haven't kept pace with how corporate influence is structured in a modern healthcare environment. And so, what we see is private equity firms, publicly traded companies, insurers finding loopholes to gain effective control over clinical care, usually through management services organizations, what we call MSOs. And these are entities that don't typically employ physicians directly, but they control a range of business and operational functions. They might control staffing, clinic operational hours, billing, even negotiating prices. And those arrangements allow them to stay technically compliant with those existing corporate practice of medicine rules. So SB 951 is really trying to directly address this loophole by targeting corporate MSO models, which are colloquially also called friendly physician models. It's essentially trying to modernize the corporate practice of medicine doctrine as a regulatory tool. And there's two components. One is it restricts ownership. So it prohibits physicians who are financially tied to MSOs from holding a majority stake in a medical practice. So it's trying to dismantle the friendly physician model. It also bans contracting practices that may enable corporate control, things like restrictive covenants, non-competes, non-disparagement agreements that might suppress clinician autonomy or movement. And the second component is it addresses operational control. So the law is saying that medical practices and not MSOs have to retain decision-making authority over business and clinical functions, things like hiring and scheduling, pricing, clinical standards, billing. And so the law is really saying it's not only about who owns a practice, but also who's running the day-to-day operations.
So you say in your perspective article that the law has elicited strong and divergent reactions. For starters, what do supporters see as its potential benefits?
There are proponents of the law who really see this SB 951 law as a necessary step to reassert professional control over medical care provision. Their concern is that corporate ownership, especially by private equity firms, which we've read about in the news, or investor-backed MSOs, that they prioritize financial returns in ways that fundamentally conflict with patient care. They may undermine clinical autonomy and erode professional trust. So supporters of the law see SB 951 as a bold way to address these concerns.
And then what about criticisms of the law? What are its potential limitations?
There are several key limitations. One major point of contention in the debate about SB 951 within the state is that it exempts hospitals and other institutional providers, which means that the law is targeting one form of control and consolidation, corporate MSO control, while leaving another, arguably more powerful form untouched, so hospital-driven vertical integration or consolidation. Hospitals, as we all know, are central players in consolidation trends. So the critique is that this law is imposing strict rules on one side of the market, but giving hospitals a pass. And there's concern that this could disadvantage independent practices, especially smaller groups that may rely on MSOs for infrastructure or capital. And that might unintentionally accelerate the absorption of independent practices into large health systems and hospitals. And in doing so, reinforce issues that are ongoing around market concentration and consolidation.
In fact, you say in your article that additional policy tools may be needed, particularly as relates to the hospital side of things. What types of policies could actually help?
So we're talking about two different issues. One is ownership and one is market consolidation. Those are related but separate. But on the hospital side, there are potentially a number of additional policy tools that are beyond the scope of corporate practice and medicine laws that can address broader dynamics of hospital-driven consolidation. And so the tools that we bring up include strengthening state merger review processes, adopting site-neutral payments, which currently advantage hospitals for the exact same services that a private practice or outpatient practice could deliver, to strengthen oversight of nonprofit healthcare entities, and to scrutinize governance of facilities. Arrangements that hospitals can engage in, like sale leaseback arrangements, in which hospitals sell real estate to investors and then lease it back at high long-term cost.
Finally, what implications do you think Oregon's new law could have for the ongoing debate that you talk about in your article about how corporatization in medicine should be defined, measured, and addressed?
So this law is really bringing to the surface debates about how regulation should be designed around healthcare. SB 951 is really going after the structure of healthcare, trying to define, for example, who can own or control medical practices. It's assuming that certain arrangements are inherently risky to patient care and physician autonomy, similar to how traditional corporate practice of medicine laws have approached ownership. And this approach is actually common in other sectors like banking or energy, where regulators have decided that ownership and governance should be tightly controlled because the stakes are really high in the public interest. But the other form of regulation that states have turned to are outcomes-based. So these are focused on performance, measuring and monitoring dimensions like cost or quality, access, equity. And the idea behind that approach is that we shouldn't necessarily care about who owns a practice as long as it delivers good care for patients. And that makes sense, but it assumes we can measure those outcomes well and accurately and in real time. And so Oregon's law is really an effort to draw a line in the sand here and to say some structures are just too risky, even if we can't measure the harm right away. And these are admittedly very normative and complex decisions to make. But the lesson for states is that, like all policies, there are real trade-offs involved. And lots of states are considering moving forward on legislating against certain ownership structures or against certain harms of corporate ownership. And they're going to need to weigh the potential for unintended consequences and specifically to make decisions around a key set of questions. Where are the points and leverage that can be taken advantage of in these cases? What kinds of ownership and control are we willing to restrict or allow? Who do we exempt and on what grounds? And so in my view, these are really complex policy choices, but SB 951, Oregon's law, is just the beginning of a broader conversation about how we should structure and govern the delivery of care in the U.S.
Thank you, Dr. Ju.